God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, as we celebrate the Holy Trinity, I just want to reflect upon the hymn of praise as we were singing the Te Deum. One of the reasons why I chose this weekend to sing the Te Deum as the hymn of praise is because Martin Luther described the Te Deum as a beautiful, wonderful creed. And since we were changing to the Athanasian Creed, which also serves as a basis of tonight's message, I felt it was very appropriate to also sing that beautiful hymn of the church, "We Praise You, O God." Tonight, I will be picking a lesson that wasn't part of the assigned readings for today for Holy Trinity, but I'll be connecting it with the creed from the Athanasian Creed, a certain segment in there that needs sometimes a little bit further explanation for us as Christians. The passage is from Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is our text. Before we make the connecting point, I'm going to go back to the concept of the Holy Trinity. The concept of God, as the name of our church depicts, one God, but yet three persons, plain and simple, is incomprehensible. Enough said, we can move on. But let me use an example to sort of understand, so that we can get a little bit of an understanding about this incomprehensibleness of God. John Wesley once said, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and I will show you a man that can comprehend God." Actually, I kind of like those words. It's very easy to see the whole difference between humanity and God when we start comparing the difference between humanity and a worm. A worm is incapable of understanding God. A worm is incapable of understanding humanity. Just as the worm is incapable of understanding humanity, so it is with humanity incapable of understanding God. God must reveal himself to humanity. And God does through many ways. And in God's Word describes God as one God, but yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At least when I learned math, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, not 1. But God does things a little differently. Henceforth, God is a little incomprehensible. We do not understand the whole nature of God. We understand what God can reveal to us in his word. And I will admit there are some times that even that is perplexing. It is revealed to us ultimately through the Holy Spirit. But getting on to our message here for today, first of all, let's start with the concept of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You've heard the phrase, two's company, three's a crowd. Well, I guess from God's point of view, since you have three persons and one God, you have a crowd, but still one God. Maybe a better way of describing this would be that God, in and of himself, lives in community. Fair enough. If you have a community of people, say three people, living together underneath a roof, they interact with each other. And, as Scripture says, God is love. Kind of difficult just to love yourself, even though there are many people who try very hard to love themselves. Hence the title of this message, almost like the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. Very often, when we just are so self-focused, we don't understand the concept of community. We don't understand anything outside of ourselves when we're only focusing upon the me, myself, and I. However, God, by nature, isn't that way. God is love. It's more than just me, myself, and I. God is three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yet one God. God is love. And as our gospel reading for today says, God takes on flesh. He assumes, as our Athanasian Creed reminds us, the humanity into the divinity. He takes on this flesh and blood and lives among us. God does that to serve us. We don't have a self-serving God focusing upon me, myself, and I, but a God in community who says, wait a minute, I love humanity. Even though humanity has sinned and fallen short of my glory, I don't want humanity to die eternally. I want humanity with me. God wants to redeem and has redeemed humanity through the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It is through his death on the cross, through that resurrection, that God no longer holds our sins accountable to us, but pours them out upon himself, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. So when Jesus dies on the cross on that Good Friday, we have Jesus being true man and true God dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Can God die? The answer is yes, Jesus died. Another aspect of this incomprehensibleness of the Trinity. Why did God die? Plain and simple, God died to save us, to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil. God wants us to be with him in heaven above. Again, this whole concept of community. And now God also saves us directly through the waters of holy baptism, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of God's gospel message being connected with his word, connecting to us, and faith which believes and trusts in the promises of God receives the blessings that God provides. And when we are made a member of God's kingdom, when the water is now put upon us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this triune God that we can't understand, a person is now part of God's community. With all the saints of Christendom, all who believed and trusted in Jesus Christ, from Adam and Eve, those who have died in the faith, till even now. That baptism connects us very uniquely to a very special community, the community of believers, not just those living physically here on earth, but also those who are no longer physically living here on earth. But what about us in the here and the now? It's great to understand that we are connected with the community of believers, where through God we draw that special strength. Through God we have the forgiveness of sins, we have that love. But God also places us in this community, in the state of Illinois, in the West Chicago area. Now, what do we do living in this community? We do the same thing that we do within the community of believers. We serve God. Serving God, as our worship service is described on the outside sign, this is the divine service. God first serves us. We give thanks and praise to him but also share that with those around. In the divine service, God majority serves us. But now we take that service. We remember what God has done for us. We give praise for the Holy Trinity, and we serve others. Hence, near the end of the Athanasian Creed, it's printed on page 7, the section that I want to refer to. At his coming, referring to when Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead, it says, at his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. Now, for a moment, as Christians, if we've been reading God's word, we might say, time out for a second. Doesn't this contradict what the person and work of Jesus is all about? We very frequently talk about that we are saved by God's grace through faith. And this is a gift of God. Where do our works come in? Well, we have to understand a very particular concept of God's grace. God's grace is freely given to us by God. It is by God's grace that we are saved. But here we're not talking about how we are saved. We're talking about how we are judged. Is there a difference? The answer is yes. The difference comes in when we start seeing our gospel reading. I'm sorry, what I read as the basis of this morning, of this evening's text from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said to those who were going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, you know, when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And these people said, when did we do this, Lord? When did we see you and do these wonderful things to you? And Jesus said, whenever you've done it to the least of these brothers, you've done it to me. Here we're talking about our good works. How does good works and grace fit together? We are saved by God's grace. And faith receives the promises of God. And there is, of course, a change within us. We now bear the Holy Spirit. We are a new creature. A creature to do what? To do good works. You see, good works is the response of the Christian. Yes, we are saved. 100%. By Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins. We hear this message being preached and proclaimed, hopefully, every single Sunday. But is there a change within us as human beings? The answer is yes. Good works do flow out of the Christian. Now we have to ask, well, what is a good work? You see, a good work is anything that is done through faith. Aha. You see, God's definition of a good work is a little bit different than our definition of a good work. Very often we think of our definition of a good work as whenever we're being nice to somebody. Fair enough. But for the Christian, anytime we're being nice to somebody in the name of Christ, that is a good work. And the judgment is based on what is seen, not what is unseen. You see, let me put it this way. Can I see your faith? Can I right now separate this congregation between the ones on the left and one on the right? And you're probably thinking, okay, which way am I, sitting on the right or the left right now? The answer is no, I cannot. I cannot look into your hearts. Nor do I want that gift and ability. So when the judgment takes place, it's not going to be some secretive judgment. But even like the judgments in today's court system, these are public records. And a public record needs public documentation. Where is that public documentation? It is by God's definition of good works. Works being done through faith. You have to have faith to do good works. Let me explain it this way. You see, if you didn't need to have faith to do good works, then every Muslim would be going to heaven, even though they deny Jesus Christ. They deny his death and resurrection. But yet, there are some very good Muslims out there. Same with Hindus. Same with people who follow Buddha. But yet they're not going to heaven if they don't believe in the saving work of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, three persons, especially in that second person's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sin. You see, that's the difference. This is one of the reasons why I want to explain this section of the Athanasian Creed, is because very often it can get misinterpreted really quickly. We might start thinking, wait a minute, are we now saved by works? No, good works are a response of our faith. And this is also very important because we now live in a community. We now have the opportunity to take what God has given to us, His divine service of love, forgiveness of sins, and now what do? We serve others. God wants us to take the gifts and abilities that He has given to us and not to be selfish with it, with an unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, but to share, realizing we're part of a community. We're part of the community of believers with God, and we're part of the physical community that God has placed us in. There's also another value of these good works. Since our world understands selfishness very, very well, when our world starts seeing Christians doing good works in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our community starts asking, well, what's so different about them? Why are they doing this? And this is another wonderful opportunity we have to share that Christian faith. So yes, we remember we are judged by our works, but more importantly, we are saved by God's grace through faith. Again, this may sound a little confusing, but I'm hoping with Matthew chapter 25, the Athanasian Creed, and the concept of the Holy Trinity, and who it is that God serves us and brings us into His community so that we can be with Him in heaven above, that we deal with a God who is in community, who wants us to love and to serve one another. Not that we merit forgiveness of sins, that was taken care of us for us by Jesus Christ, but as a response of saying thank you to God, the Christian, we do good works. So this day we give thanks and praise to God. Even though we may be sort of like a worm, so to speak, trying to understand and comprehend who God is, by faith, we just receive His promises. His promise of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. His promises to be with us always. His promises to strengthen us, to renew us, to guide us. This day, we also gather to receive this promise in physical form. Sort of like the worm getting the opportunity to have a good meal and going, okay, now where did this come from? Except for we know this meal is the Lord's Supper. Again, we have bread and wine, as Scripture says, it is the body of Christ. Again, a little bit beyond our comprehension, but since this is what God's Word teaches, and it's for our benefit, this is what our faith receives and says thank you. This day we are reminded to give thanks and praise to God for all these gifts that He has given to us, to help us not to be so self-focused with the quote-unquote unholy Trinity of me, myself, and I, but to understand that, yes, God is love. God is community. He has called us into His community, and He has called us into the community that He has placed us in, this West Chicago area. We give thanks and praise for all His wonderful gifts that we receive by faith. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.